Dawei FM presents.
Hello and welcome to another episode of China Business Cast, brought to you by Dawei FM. I'm your host, Robert Ness. Today I'm interviewing Sean Rain of CMR, China Market Research Group, a market research and strategic consulting company based out of Shanghai. Sean firmly believes that strategic consulting in China is no longer about relationships, but about the quality of the intelligence you give to your clients. So he's like the anti-Kissinger. Any questions or comments, just leave them on the blog or send me an email at robert@danwei.org. Let's get started. So let's start it out. Just always have people talk about their background before they were doing whatever they are doing now. So,
okay. Well, my name's Sean Ryan. Right now, I'm running the China Market Research Group (CMR) in Shanghai. And I came to this because I used to be in venture capital. So I was chief of research for the venture capital firm InterAsia Venture Management. We were the first VC firm in Asia, started in 1972. In China, we did a lot of fairly big investments. And so I was in charge of running our due diligence for our investments, helping our portfolio companies come up with strategies based on market intelligence for how to develop here. I was also in charge of IT and education investments. And so that ended up me investing in a company called WebCT. Or wanting to invest. I actually didn't invest in the company WebCT, which was an e-learning company. And instead, they asked me to join their firm. So I became country head in China, Taiwan, and Korea until we sold the company for $180 million last year to Blackboard. So I left the firm in January, and I decided, sort of thinking about, should I go back into venture capital or should I go back and be an entrepreneur, and I decided to set up my own market research firm. There's a really good market.
Why did you start CMR, China Market Research Group?
I think there's so many foreign companies that are coming in, and they understand that they can make money in China now, but the best way to do it is to get more market intelligence. And there aren't that many firms that are being very premium in what they're doing. You have a lot of the larger international shops that have gone from 50 to 500 people in the last couple years. And they're just so busy that it's very hard for them to ensure their quality of their reports. You have a lot of the international strategy consulting firms coming in, but they don't necessarily have methodologies that work well for the China market. And a lot of their partners or their senior people don't really know the China market well. And then I'm not even going to really talk about the Chinese market research firms, because I think they lack the sophistication from a methodology standpoint to really compete at an international level. So what that meant for us was that there was a market to do what we're trying to position ourselves as premium to McKinsey. We want to be known as the place that if you want really good market intelligence on China, go to the people who have been in China, who understand the markets and have developed techniques for analyzing it from a Chinese standpoint. 2-3 years from now, my goal is to be known as the premier market research firm in China. You know, and I want to be known as more expensive than McKinsey. You know, we're not trying to offer McKinsey quality at cheaper rates. We're trying to beat them and be more expensive than they. You know, they're very good. I got to give them credit for that. But I think we might be a little bit better going forward.
Okay, so when we think of venture capital, we're thinking of doing due diligence into a company, his team and its background and, you know, what they want to do. And when we think of market research, we think of doing due diligence into a market. So how are they different, and how is that, you know, how are these two areas the same?
Well, there's a lot of intersection because there's so many foreign firms that are trying to enter China that are already in China, and they're trying to figure out how to enter new markets. So it could be, you know, a lot of our clients are Fortune 500 companies that have been here for 20 years and they're already doing a fabulous job, but they realize that there is a way to have ROI that very high. You know, I think right now about 70% of multinationals in China expect to make money by the end of 2007 in China. That's a big difference from just a couple years ago. Sorry, 50%, not 70%. When a couple years ago, when 70% of multinationals said they were losing money in China. So the similarities are, when you're doing in venture capital, you're looking at specific companies. Do you think that company has the ability to generate sustainable revenue and profits for the next couple years? When you're doing market research, I think we're not a typical market research firm like an AC Nielsen or a Cinevate. for me, if you just get information that's a survey and you don't come up with a strategic analysis with it, it's sort of like a so what. So the goal of me starting my firm here, CMR, was to combine the hardcore market research and the strategy consulting that a McKinsey or a Bain does and combine both so that you can get really good information. Then what that information about that's similar to venture capital is the recommendations we make. Is it about making money? How do you make money out of it? And that's what's exciting.
So experts on doing business in China, they tend to fall in one of two camps. One camp says that China is completely different and that everything you thought you knew, you need to just throw out the window. The other camp says that the same fundamentals apply as they do everywhere else. So which one are you?
Yeah, I think China's market is not as different from other markets as other people say. You know, people are people. But I also think that China's market is not as similar as other markets, as people say. So there's a lot of companies come in and say, well, I was successful in Brazil. I was successful in India. I know how China works. Or we're a global brand. Let's bring it in. I mean, if you look at it, a lot of the number one brands have a lot of problems when they come into China. Google, eBay, because they don't know how to localize their image and everything very well for the local market. But then companies, they sort of throw all business common sense out the door when they come to China. They say China's so completely different. Everything's based on connections and Guanxian relationships, which I just don't believe in. Okay, I think having relationships is good, but China's markets have, you know, they're much more mature now. So what matters most is, do you have the right product? Do consumers like it? Do you have the right price? Do you have the right distribution channels? So what I mean basically is you have companies that say, when we come into China, let's just base our entire business on hiring a well-connected person. That's not what you would do in the United States, unless you're like maybe Halliburton and Dick Cheney, and you can leave that in. You know, it's you don't base everything on a connection. You base things on, is this a real business? So I think there's a lot of erroneous information and myths that are floating about China. It's similar, it's also different.
You mentioned just now that, you know, 5 years ago, people were talking about that you had to think of China in a 20-year horizon before you can actually start making profit, and that's changed in the last 5 years. What specifically has changed?
Look, Chinese were making money 5 years ago. So the difference is that foreign companies now are starting to implement the policies and the management teams that understand that you can make money in China now. I think it's absurd to say that you're going to invest for 20 years from now. I mean, I never understood that and why companies would waste a lot of money in the hopes of the great China dream. You need to come in. You wouldn't do that in the United States, so why do it in China? Okay, so come in here and say, we are going to try to make money in a 2-3 year time cycle. Maybe not in year one. It's going to take a little bit longer. But I think a lot of it is about understanding the markets by foreigners has increased. I think China's government has done an excellent job of making things a lot more transparent. It's a lot easier to figure out how to navigate in China. Where do you get the right registrations? Where do you get the right licenses? It's not as difficult. And I think part of that is because, like from my own venture capital background, you need to have a mushrooming of the services industry. Law firms, accounting, investment banks, market research firms. When you have that in place, that allows for an economy to reach a mature level enough that can sustain investments from all different types of companies coming in. So 5 years ago, you didn't have that service industry that can help guide people at a very professional level. It was more maybe some old China hand, you know, who came here 20 years ago and could help navigate people through. But that's not the same as a professional, you know, law firm like a White & Case or, you know, an investment bank like a CLSA or Goldman Sachs.
What specific kind of tactics do you use to do your market research?
I think that the techniques or the quote-unquote tactics will be very similar. You know, people do one-on-one interviews, focus group surveys. I think some of the differences are how you actually conduct the interview. You know, so how do you ask a question? How do you recognize the response? So I think that other market research strategy consulting firms are not that different from us in terms of techniques, but it's the quality of actually executing the techniques. Other things that we spend a lot of time on would be blog and BBS analysis. Chinese youth, you know, between the ages of 18 and 25 spend more time online than any other youth segment in the world. They spend about 18 hours a week, while in the United States, it's only about 12 hours. So they're extremely internet savvy. They spend a lot of time on blogs, a lot of time on BBS. So it's really smart in my mind that if you're a company and you're trying to figure out what makes Chinese youth tick, that you utilize blog and BBS techniques of analysis. So you can either read blogs, you can interview bloggers, look for keywords, influencers, things like that.
Well, so if you're doing the blog and BBS analysis, we've seen things like, for example, Dell, who have had really bad experiences with blogs and BBS. Do you have strategies to help your clients deal with that kind of problem?
Absolutely. I think Dell had really, I think they had a lot of mistakes, because you need to understand that with RSS feeds, you know, information gets spread at the speed of light in China. So if somebody's mad, it can go on to 10 blogs and 100 BBSs within a couple seconds. So you can't wait and see if things will blow over, like PNG did with the recent SK2 disaster. Once you get problems in the blogosphere, you have to come forward and say, yes, we acknowledge there's a problem and we're going to solve it. So if you look at Yum Brands, they had a Sudan number 5, I think, red dye scare last year, but they were very forthcoming, not just on blogs, but like in the regular media, and that was very important. Well, SK2 seemed to have a very corporate response. Same thing with Dell. They're like, there are no problems here. We sent out this computer. The computer chip was virtually the same. I think, you know, what I call Chinese youth, I actually call them China's baby boomers. I think there's a big difference between people born 1978 and older and after and before. And I think they're very similar to America's baby boomers. So that's what I've been calling them. Instead of, I think, the one child, little emperor, S generation is a little passe. If you think about it, people born in 1978, they're almost 30 years old now. They've had 30 years of total optimism, complete can-do attitude. I believe that from our surveys, they save very little money. There's a low savings rate, even though a lot of economists say that there's a high savings rate in China. I think that's a little bit, you know, high schoolish of an analysis. If you truly break it down, yes, there's a very high savings rate amongst the older generations who are saving for, you know, to pay for their medical bills because the iron rice bowl is gone. But China's baby boomers, the ones born in 1978 and older, they're spending. They're into credit cards. They have household savings rates that are going to be very similar to Americans. Now, why do I call them baby boomers? Well, Americans born in the late 1940s, early 1950s, they spent 30 years of pretty much optimism, safety. I mean, there was the Vietnam War, but there was nothing that was that destroying their livelihood the way that World War I, World War II, or the Great Depression did. So they were very optimistic about the future. And so they're the ones who spurred the go-go 1980s. They're the ones that were going out, you know, made Donald Trump famous the first time around, you know, bought Porsches, bought Ferraris, bought things like that. I believe that if you can compare that type of consumer behavior, it's going to be very similar to China's baby boomers going forward. And that's important for companies to understand. You know, look, people want comfort, medical care, luxury products, things like that. So Chinese, are they different from Americans right now? Absolutely. But I think people are people. And at the end of the day, when you take a look at different time periods, different things that happen, there are going to be a lot of similarities. China's baby boomers, American baby boomers, they both had parents that had tough times. You know, on the Chinese side, they had the Civil War, they had the War of Aggression by the Japanese, the Cultural Revolution. Well, in the United States, as I mentioned, they had the World War I, World War II.
That's it for the first part of my interview with Sean Rain. Stay tuned for the next part. This is China Business Cast. My name is Robert Ness, and this is brought to you by Dan Wei FM.